This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Not unto the sky, but I don't care if I spend
my gold. Tonight I'm going to be one. Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoyne. And let's head to Kentucky and check in with one of the great broadcasters at NBC. He is Kenny Rice. Kenny, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
Frank, my friend, it's always good to be with you. Life is good and a little calmer today than about 48 hours ago.
Yeah, I imagine. Just from your perspective, you're seeing it all unfold live on TV. You're part of the NBC coverage. Take us through your emotions while it's all going on.
Well, I was assigned Bob Baffert. I was going to be with him win or lose, depending on the situation, of course. Losing situation changes when what happened happened. I could see there was interference. I could see it was maximum security because I'm watching the race on a big board out in the paddock. I couldn't tell exactly how many horses or who all was involved. I saw War of Will was one of them. And then on the outside, I see this long shot. Suddenly, I pick it up. It's Country House. So then afterwards, you know, Frank, the thing is, in 145 years, this had never happened before. And that was we saw a historic, precedented day at Churchill Downs. And then you just kind of go on instinct after that. You talk to the guy that was the winner temporarily, Jason Service. You talk to the jockey, the Country House jockey, Flavian Pratt, that of the claim. And then I talked to Bill Mott, the guy who was eventually named the winner, because his was the horse that stood to move up. So all that's going down in a real quick period of time, even though it took about 22 minutes. It's the longest 21 minutes, 57 seconds in sports history, I believe.
Kenny, Martin Kilcoyne here. I had a question for you, too. You're on the broadcast. I'm sure they're in your ear trying to explain what's going on, and nobody knows. That whole delay there, do you think any part of it is, gosh, do we really want the Derby decided this way, or do the stewards just have an obligation to make that call? Because I just wonder at Churchill Downs and the Derby itself, it's kind of a mess, but I wondered if that's even a factor to them.
Well, I think a lot of it, Martin, did play into it. I mean, it is the most famous horse race. And what happened now, we'll remember some horse races for various reasons. Nobody will ever forget this year's Kentucky Derby for what happened. And the deal is on it, what they did was to the letter of the law. If you impede in the progress of a horse, you can be taken down as the winner. And so what they did happened with maximum security was exactly right. Some of the things on the Kentucky Derby, though, that make it different from any other horse race, forget all the glamour and everything else. It's almost like you play a basketball game with 7-on-7 instead of 5-on-5 when you get to the championship. You got more guys out there, so do you call the foul as tight with 7 guys out there as you did with 5? Because these horses have never run, or will they ever run again against 18 or 19 other horses like they do in the Kentucky Derby? And that's why there was some question about would they take him down or not. Do you give a little bit of leeway even though there was a clear foul?
I noticed he went basketball just for Frank there. We're trying to talk. He knows Frank and said, I better weave in a basketball analogy here.
We've played together in Lexington, KY.
You know what it is, Frank? It's like when Frank Cusimano was dominating 3-on-3 pickup games, you can call your own foul. He took a blow. He never called a foul. He's tough. But, you know, some guys call a lot of fouls. And in horse racing, you can actually, in a way, call your own foul. That's how it all started with the jockey's objection. That led to the stewards taking a look at it.
So what did you think of Bob Baffert's comments? And for those of you who have not seen or read them, here it is. No one calls an objection in the Derby. It's always a roughly run race, 20-horse field. I've been wiped out numerous times, but that is the Derby. I can see by the book why they did it. Sometimes you've got to take your blank kickings with dignity.
In a nutshell, Bob Baffert, the greatest trainer of all time, just summed it up. That's exactly right. On a couple of points there. It's always a rough race because, again, it gets back to the field size, guys. That's why I use the basketball analogy, because if people just watch horse racing that one time a year, they probably think on a given day you can go out to the track and see 18 horses running against each other. It never happens, except the Derby. Never. Now, yes, there's always jostling, bumping, and as Bob also said, though, it is the law. I mean, they did call the foul that was the foul to call. Was it the time to call it? Should they have given a little more space and given a little more thought to it being the Kentucky Derby with all these horses? Possibly so. But as far as the exact rule, they followed the rules. So that part of it, you know, you get, hey, sometimes you get written up for going 71 and a 70. Sometimes they let you go 80.
And how about this? This is just in. I don't know if this is official, but NBC recorded a 10-9, 25 overnight rating, tying their 1992 broadcast. How about that?
I take a lot of credit for that, Frank. You know what? Because let's face it, everybody loves controversy. The only thing that would happen to have been better if Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden had been there to have a debate during the whole waiting to see. You know, everybody likes controversy. In some ways, this is probably one of the better things to happen for horse racing. You know, we're talking about it. Honestly, if a guy just won the race the other day, unless it was just some crazy record-breaking performance, you all wouldn't be talking to me today. I know that. They wouldn't be. Nobody would want to know about it other than, hey, what about the Derby? Yeah, good race. Yeah. Controversy, America loves it.
Kenny, what's the among the horse people and just the general population, Louisville, Lexington, the state of Kentucky, do they think they got it right? Is it a hot debate there, or what's the consensus?
You know, I think the majority of people, they know. I mean, that really is the rule. I keep coming back to it, but technically they did what they had to do. Could they have looked the other way and said, well, look, it is a little different because it's the Derby and there's a lot more horses? Yeah, they could have. But the stewards, nobody's complaining. They're just only questioning, is that the time to call it? You know, I'm sure Bruce Pearl is still wondering about, you know, the Auburn game in the final seconds of the Final Four. I mean, you know, what do you call it? What time? It was clearly a foul and you had to call it. You call a foul that decides the game. Well, you know, is a foul early, a foul late? I mean, it's supposed to be that way. So that's the way it is in horse racing. Most of the people here in Kentucky, a few feel like Baffert that maybe, hey, don't complain. There's been some of the best horses don't win the Derby because they've been compromised. So I think that there's a split camp on that.
What does it do moving forward, like with the TV ratings and the interest level for the Preakness? Now, Maximum Security is out of the Preakness, is that correct?
As of right now, his connections say they don't want to go on, you know, because they didn't win the Derby. And honestly, if you don't win the Derby, most people don't go on. There might be a few. War of Will, I understand, might go. It looks like they'd like another shot. To me, if I had that horse, I'd say, you know, I had the best horse by far in the Derby, and that's no, you know, nobody's debating that. I think I'll go up there and win that Preakness and just show them in Louisville that they should have kept me up. You know, there's one way to get back, and that creates a little more controversy. But it appears that they're not going to run him. I don't know when they'll run him again, Frank.
What's the value of that horse? Now, a friend of mine is in the farm business, Versailles, Frank, which is outside of Lexington, Brookdale Farm, and he's there on Saturday, and I'm texting him, which, by the way, his farm had the connection to the Kentucky Oaks winner, so a big weekend for Brookdale Farm.
Yeah.
My buddy Joe Seitz, but he and I are texting on Saturday.
I know Joe Seitz.
You know Joe T? Yeah, the Seitz family. This is Marquette. The Marquette Mafia lives on. Well, Joe's there at the race, and I said, wouldn't the value, and I'm not a horse guy, so I asked him, I said, wouldn't the value of Maximum Security, stud fees, et cetera, wouldn't they still be really high because it did win the Derby? And he said considerably lower. I'm surprised by that, and I agree with you. I'd go to the Preakness. Isn't that horse still a pretty damn good horse?
You know, he is. I mean, here's the thing with him. You could have bought him for $16,000 in a claiming race in December. That's when they run a horse. You know, I think your listeners have put it together pretty quick. You run a horse before the race. We can say, you know, that horse looks pretty good. We'll claim that horse. And then if nobody else claims him, you get the horse for the price he runs for $16,000. That in his pedigree is not strong. It's not royally bred. But, yeah, the Derby would have been huge for him. But I asked a friend of mine who works in a sales company here in Kentucky, Fasig Tipton. And he said, you know, I don't know because we don't know. It's never happened before. Do you down the road say he comes out and maybe wins the Belmont and then goes on and wins a couple of big races in the summer like the Haskell and the Travers? They're not the size and notoriety of the Derby, but in the horse business, they're well-respected races. There's a lot of credibility to that. So let's say that, you know, he runs and wins some of these races. Well, you know, maybe his value goes back up. But, yeah, I mean, to have this Kentucky Derby standing, the only thing is I think he does need to win a few more races to solidify that, because anybody in the horse business knows he was the best horse last weekend. He just made a mistake, and that was it.
Kenny, great stuff. If anybody wants to see or hear Kenny, he's got a new show, the Kenny Rice horse racing show on Apple Podcast. You're on episode 15 or 16 nowadays?
Yeah, it's coming up. Guess what we're going to talk about this week, Frank?
Good stuff. Honored to have you on the program. Hey, we will talk soon.
Hey, Frank, my dad's here with me. Say hi to Frank.
Hey, Frank. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Good to hear
your voice.
We're
going to make it out. We're coming out to eat some good Italian food and go to a Cardinals game. We're going to give it our shot to do it this year, my friend.
Oh, let's do it. Hey, your dad just celebrated a birthday, correct?
Yeah, he's 90 years old. God bless him. He's tough as nails.
Oh, that is great.
Look forward to seeing you again. You're one of my favorite people.
Good to hear your voice, Mr. Rice. Thanks so much. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Frank Martin, thanks, guys.
All right, Kenny Rice joining us. Yeah, they come up to Kimmel's in a ball game. They've did that for quite a few years in a row. They're great people.
Frank picks up the tab, but this year he doesn't tell them they moved. And they're like, we can't find it. Oh, that's really a shame. You must have the wrong GPS going this year.
You have to try this Hooters downtown close to the ballpark.
I don't know what happened there. Wouldn't it be fascinating to be on that broadcast? Because you have all these production meetings, and I'm sure it's like, all right, you got the winner. We'll go to the paddock, and you go there, and then
and
go back
so
to Tirico.
It's so routine at this point.
It's right? Yes. Mike Tirico filling time for like 18 minutes.
And I felt Tirico did a great job.
He was unbelievable.
He was so good on Saturday.
And if you're the jockey who won at first, Matt, isn't it weird? Like you've there's not a lot of comparisons where the World Series is over and we're in the locker room, the champagne, like, whoa. Actually, you didn't win. Hold on. We're going to the losing clubhouse.
He was safe at second. Everyone back out.
Yes. That's why the Reds manager, Brian Price, didn't want to object that one year. He just wanted to get off the field and be done with it. I just can't imagine, even in their ear, the production truck screaming like, okay, you go to we're still waiting. And then they're probably yelling at Churchill Downs, but we need an answer here. We're on live television.
What's really taking so long?
Because it did go on like you thought. Maximum Security won for a good 2 or 3 minutes before they actually, wait a minute, there's
and they
a
put that little chyron up in the corner that said objection.
But and they're interviewing like, the Honor. Jockey. And
right.
The trainer's coming to tears talking about how he joined his brother, his guys who've won the Kentucky Derby. It was like, oh, my goodness.
And the older guy who was the owner is just kind of standing there. And then eventually, and then they're just like, they look confused. And then they're nervous. And then they find out instead of winning like $1.8 million and having the Derby champion, which if you're in the horse world, that's your zenith. And all of a sudden it's taken away. I know Donald Trump tweeted out that it was a mistake and that it was political correctness.
I'm guessing Donald might have had some
you think
money,
he had money on
the Kentucky Derby.
It's amazing how
that's
many
the
people
the only
weighed
way
in.
You could feel that way is if you had money on the winning horse that was DQ.
Political correctness? On
he
that?
Said that this is all because of political correctness, that we're overturning everything. And I'm not sure if that totally applies. In watching the race and then the replays, I don't know what's allowed because they're always bumping, right? I guess it was excessive. That it took out a number of different.
I don't know how political correctness enters into this.
It
I gotta tell you.
No, I guess I think he was trying to make the analogy. We go back and want to change things or take a statue down. I think he was saying we're always going back and changing history. I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure that it applies.
Like my wife was asking me, what'd the horse do wrong? And I couldn't.
It did not look excessive.
Yeah, it wasn't egregious. Because I'm sure in the sloppy track, there's a lot of bumping. And it's funny when they come out, they're just covered in mud. The jockeys. I guess it was a little, I mean, your guy Kenny, who covers this inside and out, said they got it right. I guess the argument is, do you make the objection? Do you complain? Like, do you file the complaint? That seems to be the only thing maybe in the horse racing world to debate. But once he did and they looked at it, I guess it was, in fact, against the rules.
All right. McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, is offering incredible deals throughout the entire month of May during their Memorial Day sales event. Buy a new McBride home in May, receive $2,000 to $10,000 off the base price of a new home. Celebrate the season with incredible savings and move in before the end of the summer. Nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis. There are homes for every price point, and I'm telling you, these homes are unbelievable. You can play catch in the master bedroom. The master bathroom is unbelievable. The basements are so spectacular. Nobody builds a home like McBride. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.